Win more listings and sell more listings with Realtor.com's Listing Toolkit. Most agents get their first seller lead within 3 days of activating their account. So get Listing Toolkit at Realtor.com/HousingWire. Welcome, everyone. I'm Sarah Wheeler, Editor-in-Chief at HW Media, with the latest installment of the Housing Wire Daily Podcast, where our editors and reporters discuss the most compelling stories and sources they're covering. Today, my guest is Housing Wire senior mortgage reporter, Georgia Cromrie, who covers the federal beat for us. And wow, there's been so much news this week from DC. Georgia, welcome to Housing Wire Daily.
Thanks, Sarah.
So good to have you on. You know, so we just had a small lull over the holidays, right, when it comes to news. But this week, the FHFA in particular has been really busy. So one of the biggest stories you reported on is their decision to hike fees for high balance loans or investment property loans that are sold to Fannie and Freddie. Can you give us a recap of what they did there?
Yeah, so the changes actually won't take place until April, which was really welcome news for the mortgage industry. I mean, this is kind of similar to the changes that were made really abruptly last year in the PSPA agreements with the Treasury, if you remember. So there were those caps on high balance loans and second home loans. So these are fees, not caps, and they change based on the loan to value ratio. So for high balance loans, the fees are going to increase 0.25% to 0.75%, and for second home loans, they're going up between 1.125% and 3.875%. So the bottom line is that the industry is just really happy that this is, that they have some lead time to change their rate sheets, that they have some time to adjust, that this isn't like an overnight change, because when that happened last year with the caps, it just like set off a mad scramble to find something to do with all of these loans that were already in the pipeline. So that was the big news this week from FHFA. But they also quietly rejected the duty to serve plans from the GSEs. They were supposed to go into effect already. They had proposed them back in last May. FHFA apparently has some problems with them. We're not sure what the problems are. They declined to say. They don't want to muddy the water during the resubmission process, but both the GSEs have to go back to the drawing board on them. So that should be pretty interesting as well.
I thought that was pretty extraordinary, really, because you would think that they had vetted that with them ahead of time. Like, it doesn't seem like the public process of submitting them should happen until there's been sign-off or buy-off, right? Buy-in at a more, you know, intra, just personal level of like, you know, someone has vetted it with them like that. Does this mean it? I mean, to submit them and then have the FHFA be like, no, you missed the mark, go back. It just seems unusual.
Right. It is very unusual. Yeah. Technically, it's the first time that they've ever rejected their plans, but it's sort of not fair to say that because there's only been one duty to serve cycle. So it's like one of the two cycles they've rejected them. But yeah, it's after a 7-month process where FHFA had listening sessions. They've had all this time to look at the plans. There's been really outspoken advocacy around the plans from affordable housing groups. They since October have been urging FHFA to hit pause on the plan. So it's kind of it raises questions for me. Why did they wait until, you know, the plans were supposed to already be in place to tell the GSEs that they need to go back and resubmit? But again, we have no idea what their problems with the actual plans are. Again, the plans, if people don't know, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have to, this is from federal law. There's a statute that mandates that they need to help households on moderate, low, or very low incomes by setting a plan every 3 years. That's the duty to serve plan to provide liquidity for manufactured, rural, and affordable housing preservation.
You know, the manufactured housing part is really interesting. So when I started at Housing Wire, it's been, you know, almost 9 years, like it just wasn't a big part of what was on the docket. I mean, people just didn't talk about it. We've had some movement there. Even this year, right back in September, the Biden administration rolled out an initiative to take tangible steps to increase the supply of affordable housing. And also just, you know, talking to the GSEs about how to accept those loans. So that whole part of the housing industry has gotten more attention, in my opinion, in the last couple of years than it ever did. And I think, you know, with the short supply of existing homes, like stick-built homes, not what we think of as manufactured homes, I think that's probably spurring some of that.
Yeah, and there's certainly, so advocates have asked the GSEs to do more in manufactured housing, and one of the areas that they've focused on is chattel loans, so loans that are titled as personal property. Most manufactured houses are not titled like normal houses. They're you know, the loans on them are more similar to auto loans or, you know, other kinds of personal property loans, and the GSEs don't buy those loans. There was a pilot program in development to I think it was Fannie Mae. It could have been Freddie Mac. But they were working on a pilot program to purchase chattel loans. Those loans titled as personal property, but it was abruptly halted a few years ago. The circumstances around that are kind of murky, but it's a question whether the GSEs should be buying those kinds of loans that, you know, especially the most affordable manufactured homes are titled as personal property.
You know, and they, according to some, a story we did earlier this year, like 22 million people live in manufactured homes, which is a lot, you know. So that's interesting. You know, it just feels like the duty to serve and the, you know, the action that FHFA took to increase the fees on those, you know, either the high value loans or the investment properties, the second homes. I mean, it's all related because those fees, you know, when they talk about why they did it, it's back to, I mean, here's the quote: these targeted pricing changes will allow the enterprises to better achieve their mission of facilitating equitable and sustainable access to homeownership while improving the regulatory capital position. So really, you know, these two things are tied. They're going to attack, they're going to basically have those high profile loans pay for some of the other things that they want to do, or that's the intention, it seems.
Yeah, I think that's a fair interpretation. I do want to point out that stakeholders, observers, people on the inside have said, yes, this definitely sets the stage for deeper cross subsidies, right? For those loan products that are riskier. So this is, you know, this could be step one, and then based on, you know, how their book of business looks in a few months, they may announce some additional pricing changes. And Sandra Thompson has said publicly that she wants to do a holistic review of the GSE's pricing, which hasn't been done in a while. So we have a lot of reasons to believe that this is just the first step and that there is more to come. However, I think it's really important to look at this move. You know, the quote from FHFA, they made a point of saying that these fees won't apply to low down payment programs at the GSEs. Of course, a very small amount of second home loans and investor home loans would fall into that category. So it's a quote that perhaps foreshadows future action, but I'm not sure it can tell us much about this specific action.
Really interesting. I mean, I think it really, to me, shows some of the affordable housing advocates, I think, have a bigger voice right now. I mean, we think about the fact that, you know, in October, we had, and you reported on the fact that 20 housing groups were the ones that said to FHFA, you shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't accept these duties to serve plans, or at least the duty to serve that had been put out there for public comment. And one of the reasons was around manufactured housing, that it would eliminate programs to purchase manufactured housing loans titled as personal property, and reduce loan targets for manufactured housing, as well as affordable housing and rural housing. So I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, no, it certainly seems like a win for them. Although we don't know what the what the changes FHFA requested are, but I do know that those groups are they're very happy right now that the plans will not go forward. And they are actively working with the GSEs to make the changes that they would like. But it's also interesting. So during this interim process, while the new plans were supposed to go into effect, the beginning of the year, really, and they have to resubmit the plans. Well, instead of continuing with their old plans in the interim period, FHFA said that they're actually going to implement the new rejected plans in the meantime. So it's sort of like, we've rejected your plan, but also go ahead with your plan for now.
Yeah, that's so clear. That makes, that's very, very clear.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. It reminds me when you look at towards the end of December, we had the FHFA, tell Freddie Mac they missed their low income refinance goal because it was less than the wider market in the number of low income refis that it had bought. So it's interesting. And so Freddie Mac has 45 days to submit a plan to the FHFA for actions it'll take to get it back on track, right? So, I mean, the GSEs are I think there's a close microscope on them right now.
Yeah, I think they're busy. And it also makes me wonder what your typical, rank and file employee at the GSEs, what they feel right now. What are they thinking as all of these efforts to increase affordability while maintaining safety and soundness? Like, how do they feel about the sort of the new direction of the GSEs? Are there some concerns that some of the mistakes that were made in the lead up to the last housing crisis are going to come back? I think there's always going to be those voices that say oh no, we're opening the credit box again, and this can't be good. I think there are a lot of reasons why there's really no comparison in underwriting practices. But those, I think those questions do keep arising. So it will be interesting, particularly, I think, during acting director, Sandra Thompson's, confirmation hearing. So the other big news that happened in the past month is that Biden nominated Sandra Thompson, the acting director, to be permanent director, which was, I found that surprising, just because there is a precedent, a very recent precedent, for an acting director at FHFA to stay on for 3-4 years. So in a sense, it was like, well, what's the rush? But she was nominated, and I do hear from sources that her confirmation hearing will be coming up pretty soon, within the next couple of months. So it should be interesting. I'm sure that those kinds of questions about what is the proper role of the GSEs, and how should they be leading the market on affordability? Should they be trailing the market? Like, what is their what is their proper role? I think that'll come up, and it should be really interesting.
It should be. And, I think it's interesting what you said about, what is the morale of the rank and file? And in some ways, I can understand how if the people that I've met over the years who are at the GSEs, they really are tied to the mission, right? The mission of serving homeownership of but not just homeownership, but, you know, of housing, right? Of making housing available, whether that's rent or homeownership, is really near and dear to their hearts, you know? So I wonder if having Sandra Thompson, because we talked about, I guess it was this time last year, is it that long ago, where there was just sort of an exodus of major of the leadership at some of the GSEs? I wonder if Sandra Thompson at FHFA gives them hope for, like, we're on a better track. We're, you know, the mission of serving underserved communities is back intact. I don't know, because I don't, you know, I wouldn't, from anecdotes, know enough people who work at the GSEs, but I do think it's interesting because people there, I think, are very mission focused. That's why you go to work at the GSEs, and that's why you stay there, and why you see people spend their entire careers there.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. And, you know, that was one that I posed to FHFA a while ago, and it was sort of like it was too early to tell, right? It's much too early to see if Thompson's leadership will turn the brain drain around. I mean, really, you know, at both the GSEs, I think you could argue that they've lost a lot of talent. They've lost a lot of employees who had institutional knowledge. And yeah, like you said, a large part of why you work at the GSEs is the mission, and it's also being able to. People have told me it's also important to, feel that you can innovate, feel that you can, you know, find new solutions for these big problems, and you know, make a positive impact on the housing finance market. So yeah, it should be interesting to see. I can't say one way or another whether morale has improved at the GSEs in the past seven or eight months, but yeah, it's a good question.
You know, we're seeing a very invigorated federal regulatory environment in general, right? And I think one of the things that we've done so much work on, you've done so much work on, is the FHFA's work on appraisal bias. You know, they're part of that interagency task force looking at appraisal bias. And I feel like it's exciting to me, as someone who's covered the space for a while, to see that, you know, really taking off, really getting some attention. We'll see what the end results are, but it is interesting to see. I know, December 14th, you wrote an article about the FHFA takes a swing at racial bias in appraisals, and, you know, what they're hoping to add to that conversation as part of that interagency task force. So love to have any comments you have on that.
Yeah, so I do have a follow-up to that story coming pretty soon. So there should be more news on that front. Sort of, you know, not everyone loved that that report, and there's been quite a bit of pushback from appraisers on that report from FHFA. But and there should be also more news about the appraisal task force. They are supposed to issue a report, I believe, in the next month. So that should be very interesting, because it's not just they're not just going to be issuing a report sort of diagnosing what they see as the problem, but they're also going to be making policy recommendations, and they have a mandate to really make some changes. So it's not as if we're waiting for just a report. It could be substantive changes on the way for the appraisal industry.
You know, great to hear that the follow-up is coming, and it will be interesting to see what those really concrete actions that they're going to recommend look like. We know this is such a thorny issue. I mean, appraisals in general, it's just, it's hard to sort of wrap your hands around getting to true value, because you have so many subjective parts of it. You know, even as we try to have more, you know, automated valuation models, even as we try to figure out what it is, it's a thorny problem.
Yeah. Absolutely. And one that inspires a lot of, I think there's just a lot of emotion in the issue too, because it's hard to hear that federal regulators are, you know, trying to diagnose and solve problems in your industry. You might feel, singled out and, you know, quite defensive. And so I think it's been a struggle to make sure that those, efforts are productive, constructive, and not just sort of, you know, a praiser bashing. I think, there'll be more forthcoming on that, but I think that some appraisers do feel like the report from FHFA was not necessarily fair, didn't properly situate the data that they presented in any sort of context. It did not provide, you know, any. So what the report did was it showed some examples in free form comment boxes and appraisal reports where appraisers had written things like. Appraisers had.
They were
cringeworthy. Some things were, like they referenced a neighborhood being homogenous, or, you know, the crime in a certain neighborhood, or that an immigrant community was there, or they were cringeworthy and they should not have been in appraisal reports. But people who are in the appraiser industry, who are kind of working with, at the same time, like working with federal regulators to figure out, you know, how are we going to diagnose this problem? What do we do? You know, how extensive is this problem? Say that it's just really not helpful to have these examples without any context. Where did these things happen? Were these comments made in the last 6 months or the last 6 years or back in 2013? Because remember, the GSEs have been getting this data has been stored digitally since, you know, 2013. So it's not clear what the time period is. It's not clear if this was, one appraisal firm, one appraisal management company, one lender, one kind of transaction, where it happened, what the entire comment might have been. And also, I have sources who say that the comments may not have been from appraisers, but from real estate agents who...
interesting. So in those free form comment areas?
Yeah. So they say that lenders typically... Or that some lenders ask for the real estate listing to be included in the appraisal report, sort of as like, you know, accompanying supportive documentation for when appraisers are showing what comps they chose to reach their value. So the argument is that the comments were taken not from appraisers' comments, but from those listings. So I don't, you know, that might not hold water, but it's also not clear from the report where exactly, you know, what the context was for those comments that they highlighted.
You know, from our perspective, we wish that things were just more open. I mean, the fact that, you know, appraisers wish that the context was given, it's true for so many of this, so many of these stories that we're trying to report on, where it's like, if it was just, if there was more transparency, it would just be so much more helpful, not just to us as reporters, but the reason that you're reporting on it, the reason we're trying to, you know, give information on it is because it seems like a black box in so many ways.
Yeah, that's an apt description, and people have called it a black box for sure. Yeah, there have been many many calls, and we have also asked for various federal regulators and agencies to release more data on appraisals. But I think, you know, I think we're just going to have to wait and see what the appraisal task force comes out with, and go from there. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate your reporting so much on this. It's been great, and I look forward to the things coming out. If people want to reach you as a source, how do they do that?
You can send me an email at gkromrei@housingwire.com.
Awesome, because we know you have done a great job of source development and have contacts throughout the federal agencies and departments that are over housing. So, Georgia, thanks so much. Great work. And we look forward to seeing what's next.
Looking for more insight into what will happen in 2022? Or maybe you need more information on what in the world is happening with the federal regulators. Or you could just be looking for information on how to stay competitive as the industry shifts to a purchase-focused market. Our HW Plus Premium membership comes with all of this insight and more. With your HW Plus membership, you'll get at least 5 HW Plus articles a week that dive deeper into the daily news to help you confidently make business decisions. To join, go to housingwire.com/membership.
Thanks for listening to Housing Wire Daily. I hope you have a great weekend. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out on all the hottest stories crossing our news desk each and every day. The podcast is now available wherever you like to listen. We'll see you back here on Monday.